Somebody shout praise the Lord. Aren't you glad to be in the house of the Lord on this Friday morning? Hey, no, it's not Friday. What is today? I'm so lost, I don't know what it is. It's Wednesday morning. Somebody shout Wednesday. Praise God. Look at your neighbor and say, you look better than I do. Some of you had a hard time saying that this morning. Praise God. Amen. Why don't we clap our hands to the Lord once again? Let's thank Him. I give you praise, Jesus. I give you praise. Amen. Praise God. It's good to be here in the house of the Lord. It feels good in this place. Appreciate this opportunity. I don't think there's a greater group of young people in all the world than the youth of the Western District. Amen. Give yourself a hand. Tremendous young people. Amen. Appreciate you so much. Appreciate Brother Kevin Bradford, Brother Jonathan Mullins, thrown together to work together. Amen. But more than that, I have found probably two of the finest friends in my life through these two men, and I love and appreciate them so much. It's just an honor to be able to work with them. Amen. All the camp staff, you've done a tremendous job. Praise God. Tremendous job. Thank the Lord. I want to direct your attention to three different portions of Scripture this morning, beginning in 2 Samuel chapter 4. Now, when I went in to get my cup of coffee this morning, one of the young ladies informed me, she didn't know I was standing by there, but she was talking about that Brother Mullins or myself, I don't know which one she was talking about, but she said, you know, one of the bald ones. I said, there she is back there. And I overheard her, Brother Mullins, is one of your saints. And so I don't know if she was referring to you or me, but I caught her. And so I'm one of the bald ones. All right? Brother Bradford gets all the hair. Why do some guys get it all? You know, I thought at least I'd have hair because I only got one arm. You know, but hey. Praise God. At least my wife loves me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah. Looking forward to hearing our superintendent here in just a little bit, so I will try to get out of the way. Amen. 2 Samuel 4, verse number 4. Then we'll be going to Genesis 32. Verse number 4 of 2 Samuel 4. And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell. Everyone say he fell. And became a lame, and his name was Mephibosheth. Try to say that 10 times real fast. Genesis chapter number 32. Chapter number 32, verse number 24. If you have it, say amen. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And Jacob said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. One more portion in the New Testament, Luke, the 15th chapter. Luke chapter 15, verse number 11. Luke 15, verse number 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them as a living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. Let's have a party. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Praise God. I want to preach for a little while this morning on this subject: lame, limping, and lost. Lame, limping, and lost. Why don't we place our Bibles behind us? Let's clap our hands unto the Lord one more time, thanking him for his word. Hallelujah. God, I love you and I praise you, Jesus. Praise God. Well, if you're going to preach with a preacher, you may be seated. The Lord bless you. Heard the story of a boy who was out in the yard with a bat and a ball. And he was throwing the ball in the air, and right before he'd get ready to swing to hit that ball, he would say, I am the world's greatest batter. And he swung and he missed. So he picked the ball up again and he threw it in the air and he screamed, I am the world's greatest batter. And the ball fell to the ground with a whoosh of his bat. So he tried it again. And he threw the ball up in the air and he got that bat and he screamed, I am the world's greatest batter. And he swung that bat and he missed that ball. But he threw his bat down, picked up the ball, stuck his chest out and said, you know what? I'm the world's greatest pitcher. He determined to focus on the positive. Our society today is so programmed for failure. It has been ingrained in our heads since we were children. I can remember the nursery rhymes, and I even heard it last night. It says this: ring around the rosy, pocket full of posies, ashes, ashes. We all stand up? No, we all fall down. How about this? Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water. Jack fell down, poor guy, and broke his crown, and Jill came tumbling after. Oh, this is my favorite. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men could not put Humpty Dumpty back together again. It's been ingrained in our minds since we were just small little kids. You're not going to make it in life. You're going to be a failure. And the enemy works overtime on the youth of our nation. But I've come to preach to somebody on this final morning. The church is not a place for you to magnify your failure. Amen. It's not a place for the devil to keep you beaten down. I've come to preach to you tonight. You can make it. Hallelujah. You know, the church doesn't have failure support groups. I can just see it. An announcement made on a Wednesday evening. The failure support group met this morning in a 3-hour board session. And we determined We can't do it. There's no sense in even having church. We're just going to give up. Let our kids go to hell. Let everything else happen. The failure support group realized it's just too hard to make it. But I'm here to tell somebody, it is the church that you can bring your failure to and leave it at an altar. We're not going to magnify your failure. We're going to point you to a cross. We're going to point you to a Savior. We're going to point you to some blood that is able to cleanse you. I am preaching to some young ladies and young men. Your failures are not final. Hear this preacher this morning. Your failures are not final. I don't care what the enemy's told you. Your failures are not final. I don't care what you've done. Your failures are not final. I don't care how far you've gone. Your failures are not final. You can't get up. You can't go on. Rejoice not against me, oh mine enemy. For when I fall, I shall arise, and the Lord shall be my light. I'm tired of seeing young people beat up by the devil. You may have made mistakes, but it ain't over, honey. Hey, man, it ain't over. You can get up again. You can pick your head up again. You can lift your hands again. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, I read to you this morning a very interesting story of a young man by the name of Mephibosheth. Everyone say Mephibosheth. That's what I thought. Say it again. Maybe we'll just call him Phoebe. For some of you that have a hard time early in the morning with a thick tongue. Everyone say Mephibosheth. All right. Mephibosheth was the son of Jonathan, the grandson of King Saul. The happenings in Israel went like this. David had ascended to the throne. He had defeated the enemies that tried to rise against him. He had finally established his kingdom. And he decides one day while he's sitting on his throne, you know, I promised Jonathan that I would show kindness to his house. I promised my friend Jonathan that I would take care of any offspring that he had. And so he asked, is there any left of the house of Saul that I may show kindness to him? A servant approached him and said, yes, there is someone, but David, you don't want him. There is an individual, but David, he's crippled. David, he's lame in both of his feet. He's not king's kid's material. He would make a disgrace of the kingdom. You don't want Mephibosheth. In fact, he's in a place called Lodabar, which meant a barren place. He's so far down, he can't get up. And you don't want him walking around the king's halls. You don't want him sitting at the king's table. You see, Mephibosheth, when he was only 5 years old, the story came that David had arisen to power. And the Bible lets us know that the nurse took up Mephibosheth. And as she was running, afraid that they would kill this little five-year-old little boy, the Bible says that she tripped and she dropped him. He fell. And because of the fall, he became lame in both of his feet. It wasn't even Mephibosheth's fault that he became lame. It was the nurse's fault. He had put trust in somebody that let him down. I want to talk to some young people. I am tired of our society, and I am tired of the world and the devil telling you it's your fault. Some of you, you can't help what happened at home. It's not your fault. Do you think Mephibosheth asked to be dropped? Oh, could you please drop me so I can spend the rest of my life on crutches? He had put trust in someone, Brother Mullins. He had entrusted his life
in that nurse's care, and in the frantic moment, she dropped him. I am talking as I heard it this morning. Somebody in the cafeteria talking about the stepdad and the stepmom. Hear me. It's not your fault. Listen to this preacher. I don't care what the psychologist has told you. I don't care what they're saying at your school. I don't care what the newspapers are printing. It's not your fault. You may have came to this camp meeting and you're lame. You walked in here lame in your spirit. But I've got to preach to you. There's a king who wants to show you something.
David says, you go get him. But David, don't you understand? He's in Lodabar. He's in a barren place. He's lame. He's messed up. David says, I don't care. Go find Mephibosheth and bring him here. So the word goes to old Phoebe. And Phoebe cripples his way to the king. I'm lame. What's the king want to do with me? I'm no good. I can't make it. I'm not going to amount to anything. He's going to kill me. The king doesn't care for me. I've made too many mistakes. I've been dropped in life. I've been hurt. I've been handed a raw deal. I can't make it. What is he going to do? And the Bible says when Mephibosheth came to David, he fell on his neck. That's two times that Mephibosheth fell. First time he was dropped. He fell out of a nurse's arms. It wasn't his fault. And he became lame. But there's always a blessing when you fall the second time. Mephibosheth said, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if the king will take me. But this is the only way I know how to get any mercy. And he fell. And instead of David killing him, David said, get up, boy. You're now a king's kid. You're royal. You may be lame, but you're royal. You may be broken, but you're royal. You may be hurting, but you're royal. You may have been dropped, but you're royal. You may not understand, but you're royal. Oh, I'm preaching to some of you young people today. The devil sold you. You're lame. You've been dropped. It was someone else's fault. You're not going to make it. But I'm here to tell you there's a king who's saying, I'll take you just like you are. You may be lame in the spirit. You may be hurting inside. But you're royal. You're royal. You are a part of my kingdom. When David talked to Mephibosheth four times in the passage, he told Mephibosheth four times, I studied it out four times, you can sit at my table and eat my food. He could sit down and that tablecloth would cover those lame legs. And if anyone just walked in and didn't know the situation, Mephibosheth looked like all the other kids. Sure, he was lame. Sure, he'd been dropped. But he looked the same like everybody else. Can't you see it? One day, the dinner bell rings. Ding, 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 ding. I used to love when Mom said, dinner! Woo, I'd come running. Some of you, if I said, nap time! You'd go running. Yeah, yeah. I know. It's Wednesday morning. Hallelujah. Here comes Absalom sliding out of his quarters. Chest out. Strong, powerful, charming, handsome, debonair, suave Absalom. Kind of looks a lot like me, you know. Muscles. He goes and takes his place right next to David. Sit next to the big daddy. Right next to big daddy. And all of a sudden, swooshing out of her room comes beautiful Tamar.
She comes and sits next to handsome Absalom. And he pats her on the back. And, "How you doing, sis?" And then, out of the study, adjusting his glasses, with a book in his hand, the wisest man that ever lived, old Solomon. Here he comes. Yes, I think I'll write. Oh, that's good, yes. And he comes, adjusts his glasses. He's got a pen pocket protector in his deal, you know, all the pens sticking out, got Band-Aid on his glasses. He comes, sits down, and he takes his place. And then the other king's kids shuffle in, but all of a sudden, before they'll ever say grace, all of a sudden you hear, Absalom rolls his eyes. "I'm coming. Sorry, guys. It wasn't my fault. But I'm going to eat at the table anyways." And here comes Mephibosheth out of the corner. Finds his place, sits down, and looks like all the other ones. "I'm here to preach to somebody right now. There's a room enough for you at the table. You don't have to hurry. You don't have to wait. You can go just like you are. You don't have to get good to get God. You get God to get good." Some of you need to hear this preacher right now. You may be lame. I know it may not have been your fault, but come on to the table. There's a king that is saying you can eat at my table anytime. You're royal. You're royal. You're royal. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. Hallelujah. Praise God. Then there's Jacob. Jacob, all his life, had been known as a cheater. He was deceitful. He was a supplanter. He was a heel grabber. He was someone that would trick you and take every bit of money out of your wallet if you let him. He was slick. The guy knew how to con somebody. He was good. But there came a moment in Jacob's life where Jacob finally had to come to himself. The Bible said he sent all his family on to meet Esau. Esau was after him. Jacob had finally got to the end of his rope. And he crosses the brook Jabbok. And there he wrestles with an angel. He wrestles to the break of day when the angel finally says, "You know, you got to let me go. I got to go." Jacob says, "I ain't letting you go. I am so tired of being what I've been. I'm so tired of being called a cheat. I'm so tired of everyone when they see me. Says, there's Jacob, which meant a cheater, which meant to say, I'm tired of it. I don't want to live like this. I'm tired of being this way. I want to be changed. I want to be changed." And finally the angel says, "What is your name?" And Jacob flinches and says, "Oh, I was hoping you wouldn't ask me that. I have lived under the stigma all my life. I'm just a cheat. I'm just a no good, down for nothing scoundrel. I ain't worth 2 cents. Why do you have to ask me what my name is?" And he whispers it. It's Jacob. And the angel says, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but thou shalt be called Israel. For as a prince, you have power with God." And he touched the hollow of his thigh, and Jacob started limping. Man, what a fight. The rest of his life. Oh, there's Jacob when he got across the brook. Oh, here comes Jacob, but he's walking a little different. He said, "Listen, my name ain't Jacob anymore. I'm no longer a cheater. I may be limping, but now I've got power with God. I may be limping, but now I'm a prince. I may be limping." Some of you may have walked into this camp and you're limping in your spirit. Some of you may have crawled into this camp saying, "This is my last hope. I gotta get it together at this camp. I'm fighting too much hell at home." And you limped in here. But I'm here to tell you, there's a God that'll change you. I'm here to tell you, there's a God that says you're a prince. Oh God. You're a prince. Oh, Jacob. Don't call me Jacob anymore. You call me what my daddy calls me. I don't care what you think anymore. I know now what my daddy thinks about me. Oh, I know what I'm preaching this morning. I can take you to, some of you were here last year, heard me talk about the message I preached on my arm. Amen. It's great to have one arm. Some young lady came to my wife the other day, says, "Your husband, he makes me want to have one arm." No, you really don't. You really don't. It's hard to shuffle a deck of cards. Good thing they got those automated card shufflers now. Uno was always trouble when I was growing up. Cards went everywhere. I hated when it was my turn to shuffle. Took 10 minutes to pick everything up. I know you're asleep. You'll catch up. But I remember. I remember the first grade, and some of you may have heard this story. I had a prosthetic arm, a hook. They're great. Hooks were wonderful. They scared the girls away. They were great for pinching. But I was playing ball with a buddy of mine, and we both jumped for the ball, and my hook jabbed him in the lip, and it busted his lip, and blood went everywhere, and it was really neat. But when I went back to the room, my first grade teacher, Brother Bradford, said, "You know what? You're weird. You're different. I don't want you ever wearing that to school again. You hear me, buddy? I don't want you wearing that because it's not safe. It's not right." This little first grade heart was crushed. I went home and I crawled on my bed and I sobbed like a little baby. But I'll never forget my daddy walking into that room, hearing what happened. I said, "Boy, they may say that about you, but it ain't true. You are somebody because God created you this way." Can I preach to somebody right now on this senior camp morning? Hey, I don't care what they say, you can make it. Your daddy's talking something different. Your daddy's telling you you got power. Your daddy's telling you you're a prince. Just go on a little longer. Just hang on a little longer. You may have to go through some things. You may be fighting some things and be limping, but I'm here to preach to you. You can make it, because your daddy says something different about you. From that moment on, I wore my hook and threw it in the face of that teacher. I said, "Looky here, my daddy said I can wear it. Neener, neener, neener." I'd walk in, the first thing I'd let in the room would be my hook. "Ha ha ha. Guess what, teacher? I'm wearing it. Would you like me to stick it through your lip?" Just kidding.
Gotta be careful.
You know why? Because my daddy said something different. Some of you, you let the devil talk you out of your blessing. Some of you, you let the devil talk you out of your victory this week. And you think, "Well, I'll just wait till the last night of camp." Honey, you might as well jump on board this morning. You've already got power with God. You just realize who you are, what you've got, where you come from. You are a royal lineage. You may be limping. You may have walked in here broken. But I'm here to tell you, you are like a prince that hath power with God. You go home and look at hell and say, "I can make it." You go look at the devil and say, "I can make it." You shout to your situation, "I can make it." Tired of the devil telling us we can't make it. I'm tired of seeing young people that give up in the middle of the fight. You got to realize who you are. I'm preaching to some future preachers here this morning. The devil's told you, "You ain't gonna." I've heard all the lies. I remember laying in bed when God called me to preach, and the devil telling me, "How in the world you gonna hold a mic? How in the world you gonna do it?" Oh, I went through things like that. I know that sounds stupid to some of you, because I can really hold the mic. You know, I always was afraid. Illustrations, wanting to point somebody out, you know, holding the mic and point for somebody. "Here, come here," and the whole front three rows come up. Who are you pointing to? You know? You ain't going to make it. Who wants to hear a one-armed preacher? Like one arm has to do with anything you say. Some of you,
You lose your victory just because you get a pimple in the middle of your forehead. Hear me. You're royal with God. You are chosen. I said you are chosen. You are chosen. And you are chosen for this hour. God could have chose Peter. He could have chose Paul. He could have chose the apostles. But he chose you and he chose me. Let's have revival. Let's get it together. Let's go on. Woo! I need a little bit of music right now, Sister Jones. Because I feel something coming on this Wednesday morning.
Oh, yeah. Some of you, y'all want all the young men. Come on up here. Come on up here, young men. Come on, everybody. All the ones in the back, come on up. All the ones asleep, poke them. Tell them to come up here. Come on, wake up. Come on, everybody up here. All the young men. Come on. Get on up here. Preacher's asking you to come on. Counselors, help me out. Young men, look at Brother Sergeant. The devil is a liar. I said the devil's a liar. It don't matter what you've gone through. It don't matter what your home life is like. It don't matter what happened. Some of you, you were dropped and it wasn't even your fault. And you've carried that wound all your life. This morning, you're going to fall on the king's neck. And you're going to say, God, I'm tired of carrying this. I realize now it wasn't my fault. I'm sorry my mom and dad got a divorce. I'm sorry it happened this way. But it ain't my fault, God, so use me. Pick me up and do something with me. I'll do whatever you want me to do, God. I'm yours. We need strong young men that'll carry this gospel. I'm not afraid of tomorrow with the young men that the Western District is raising and our church. I'm not afraid of the truth going out. Amen. There's some of the finest young men in this district at this camp meeting right now with a touch of God and a call of God on your life. Don't let the devil ever tell you you're nothing. Hear me, you're something. Don't let the devil ever tell you you ain't gonna make it. Get a backbone, stand up and say, I'm gonna make it. Young ladies, come on. Pile in this altar this morning. Let Brother Sergeant talk to you for a moment. I know how the devil works. Oh, you're just a young lady. You're never going to affect the kingdom of God. What do you have to offer? Can't preach. Why do the guys get all have all the fun? The devil's told some of you. Some of you have probably come from some of the most horrendous situations at home. And the devil said, you're lame. It was your fault. You were dropped. You trusted in somebody. You put your trust in your dad or your mom and they walked off and left you. It must have been your fault. You hear me. The devil is a liar and God gets all the glory. I'm sure I'm preaching to some foster kids today who have been shuffled from one home to the next. It ain't your fault, honey. You just ought to pick yourself up, find the king, and say, there's a blessing in the second fall. I'm going to fall on the king. I'm going to fall at his mercy. And when it's all said and done, you're going to be walking in royalty. You're going to have the royal robe on. You're going to be living in the king's house. I'm here to preach to somebody. Come on. You can make it. All across this building, lift your hands. Lift your voice. Talk to God. I can make it. I can make it. Come on, come on, come on. Hallelujah, you're chosen. I said you're chosen. I said you're chosen. You may be lame, but you're royal. You may be limping, but you're changed. You may be lost, but you're in the house this morning. You know, hold on just a second. I hear these stats in our society about suicide. I just really feel like just talking about this for a few moments. We ain't jumping, we ain't shouting. We're gonna get real with some things right now. I hear our society with all these statistics about suicide. And as preachers, sometimes we say, well, that's the world. That can't be the church. But I can guarantee if I ask for the raising of hands, and I won't, of how many of you have considered suicide, it would probably shock all of us in this building. It would. Because that's the way the devil works. You might as well give in. She dumped you. She don't love you. It was your fault. Just go ahead and end it all. I feel like I'm in the Holy Ghost right now. We got to get real. The devil's trying to infiltrate our church because he knows that God's trying to raise an army of young men and young ladies who are going to take this gospel to the far corners of this world. He is trying to infiltrate you with lies and telling you, you know, you ought to just get hooked on drugs and forget it all. You might as well get your bottle and be an alcoholic like your daddy was an alcoholic. Hey, you got a higher daddy, hallelujah, that loves you. You are created special. You're created for a reason. I'm preaching to you. Come on. It's not time to put a gun to your head. It's time to get on your knees. I rebuke those spirits that come against our young people. I rebuke the spirits of immorality. I rebuke the spirits that try to bind. Some of you need to release some things you're holding against your mom and dad. You need to release and ask God, God, I forgive them and I want you to forgive me. It's not your fault, young ladies. Young men, I don't know why I feel so strong about this morning, but it's not your fault. Get it through your head. It's not your fault. But Sergeant, you're probably just preaching to a few of us. No, I have a feeling I'm preaching to quite a few that have been affected by what I'm saying right now. They didn't leave because of you. You weren't a mistake. Hear me, you were not a mistake. You were created on purpose. God loves you. God's concerned about you. God cares for you. God wants to use you. God wants to do something through you. There is so much talent and ability in this place. I've been astounded this week. And the devil's lying to you. You ain't gonna make it. You can't do it. Here, you look at this one-armed preacher. I'm proof. It don't matter what the devil's telling you. You can make it. Come on, let your voice in your hands again. God's talking to you. Come on, God's talking to some of you young men. God's placing a call upon you this morning. Hallelujah. Come on. You don't have to be like the prodigal and leave the house. You don't have to be like the prodigal and go find something that'll fix it. Amen. You need to get back in the house because your father will take you just like you are, with your rags, with your hurt, with your lameness, with your limp. Come on, come on. You need to pour your heart out. Some of you haven't broke through yet. Amen. You need to break through it. Come on, you need to break through it. Find somebody and lay your hand on them right now.
Praise His name when you have a broken heart.
Put your hand on somebody that's asking God to help them. Come on, talk to somebody right now. There's a God that loves you. There's a God that thinks you're special. There's a God that thinks you're going to make it. There's a God that's going to help you make it. Some of you, your father left you. You got a father in God.
When you feel it all.
carry those crutches any longer. Come on, you can throw them down at the feet of the King. It's not your fault. Come on, talk to God. Tell him what you're feeling. Tell him the hurts you got in your heart. It's all right. We got to get real with some of these issues.
When you have a broken heart, raise your hand and say,
come on, young men, God's going to use you. Come on, young men, God's going to pick